Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. California! Oh, California, the diamond in the eye of the liberal left. The virtual template for the radical Democrats took a major nosedive yesterday. They showed us one thing and one thing only. Renewable resources are not ready for prime time. Maybe someday, but not right now. Do me a favor, guys. Don't forget to like and share this broadcast. We got a big show for you today. It's just me and you. A lot of things to talk about, much to discuss. Very excited about it. Also today, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, I'm going to be joining 412 Productions, my good friend, Adel Nero. So be there or be square. All right, do me a favor. Give a special shout out to all the Patriots on Getter, Foxhole, Rumble. Sit back, relax, grab your popcorn. We're going to be right back after this. That's right. Thank you. Big time to Noble Gold Investments for supporting the show. Let me make sure I get all the adequate chats up here on the screen. There we go. We've got the Rumble chat there. And then Foxhole. I don't know why that one's not showing. There we go. All right. We're all good. Thank you so much for being here, guys. I really appreciate you deciding to spend your Wednesday afternoon with me. We have a lot of information to discuss. Before we begin, I wanted to show you guys the most recent book that I am reading, and it's something that a lot of people recommended to me, and several people specifically at the moment of truth. It's called The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. It's not a long book, okay? Pretty short. However, it is fairly significant, and I just wanted to read you a portion from the introduction here, because I think that it is a succinct acknowledgement of what we're going through right now. I think that it is quite the tool that you can use to arm yourself in our fight against tyranny and the deep state. So, beginning, in the course of human history, the abuse of authority by men through the arm of the state is not an uncommon occurrence. Western civilization has pillared safeguards to help prevent this. Nevertheless, a citizenry must remain vigilant and understand both the purpose and limitations of the state. If a citizenry does not know the purpose and limitations of the state, then the civil government can misuse its power because the citizenry is unable to measure when something improper is occurring. For there to be any indignation towards acts of tyranny by the state, one must be able to recognize that tyranny is taking place. Aldous Huxley, in his seminal work, Brave New World, wrote of a citizenry of slaves who would love their enslavement. That sounds exactly like the goals of the World Economic Forum. In Brave New World, Huxley writes, "A really efficient totalitarian state would be one in which the all-powerful executive of political bosses and their army of managers control a population of slaves who do not have to be coerced because they love their servitude." Unknowingly, Americans have accepted the role of Huxley's servant-minded people for decades. This is due in part to the fact that people love comfort and tend to avoid conflict. However, the other part of the equation is that people have lost the yardstick by which they should measure the limits of government. As a consequence, we in America have become a slave-like people, with the federal government acting more as a master than as serving as servant, providing justice for the people. This is exactly what has happened in our nation. And this is why we are currently fighting against this totalitarian and authoritarian regime being led by Joe Biden and his puppet masters, being led by these globalist institutions that seek to enslave us and force us to own nothing and be happy about it. They want to enslave us and they want us to love our slavery. They put these ideas into our head, like we're going to have green power. We're going to save the environment. Well, let's see how that turned out today in California. The slavery of the plebs has nearly gone to its logical conclusion, but we, the American patriots, have awoken and have been fighting back for quite some time. It's often been said that America was like that boiling pot of frogs. They were slowly turning up the heat, gradually taking away bit by bit of our constitutional rights, our natural rights that the government cannot take away because they are bestowed upon us by God himself, yet they have tried to do so nonetheless. I have a number of stories which is going to be addressing this today, and we're going to begin by heading over to Mar-a-Lago and President Trump's recent comment on what the FBI did there at his home. Now, it's come out in the last several days, some of the things that the FBI took, some of the places that the FBI searched. They searched Melania's private lingerie closet. They searched Barron Trump's private room. For what reason, pray tell, did the FBI need to search the bedroom of a 16-year-old boy? What do you think they were going to find? They were going to find a football, maybe a couple of leather jackets, some dirty underwear, maybe some magazines. Absolutely no reason for the FBI to come in and search the bedroom of the son of the 45th president of the United States. There is also no other reason for the FBI to have come and to have searched the lingerie drawer of the first lady of the 45th president of the United States. This was all about instilling fear. This is about sending a message. But more than anything, I believe that it was about sending a message to the American people. What have we been doing for the last couple of years, guys? We have been attempting to wake up that sleeping mass and show people that they have become slaves, to show people that while they slept, this tyrannical form of government crept in and slowly destroyed the United States of America, taking away those rights that we, the people, are given since birth, because we are a natural man. We are human beings. We have these rights that are bestowed upon us by God, by no one else. The government cannot take these things. All the government can do is attempt to impose its will. And the only way that they can successfully impose that will is when the people don't even know that it's happening at all and choose not to do anything to fight against it. But here we are, awakening the masses, and I believe that they will not be successful. No matter how much they might try, no matter how many of us might suffer at the hands of this totalitarian regime, let's take a look here. President Trump says, not only did the FBI steal my passports in the FBI raid and break in of my home, Mar-a-Lago, but it has just been learned through court filings that also they improperly took my complete and highly confidential medical file and history with all the bells and whistles. At least they'll see that I'm very healthy, an absolutely perfect physical specimen. Plus, personal tax records, which are illegal to take, and lawyer-client privileged information, a definite no-no. Days of the Soviet Union. That's exactly what we're living through right now. Joe Biden on stage the other night, standing there in front of that blood red backdrop. He appeared to be something closer to Stalin than to a president of the United States. Now, it is with great pleasure that I show you that the American people are not buying what Joe Biden is laying down. We recently got some information about the reaction from the American people to Joe Biden's speech the other night. Hold on just a second. Where did I put that? Here it is. Let's see. So a poll was taken by the Trafalgar Group, and the Trafalgar Group found that a vast majority of the American public looks at what Joe Biden did the other night, and they believe that it was meant to incite conflict. Now, I hear a lot of people having rumblings about civil war, about fighting back, about going up against this totalitarian regime. And I have to tell you, my friends, that is exactly what they want us to do. Look at the rhetoric coming out of the mainstream media. What Joe Biden said on stage the other night is exactly what the leftist regime in the media has been thinking to themselves, and many have been saying openly for many years now. They believe us to be threats to their power. They say a threat to democracy, but we don't have a democracy. We have a republic with democratic representation. And yet they have no concept. They don't understand what the true nature of America is. They think that the Constitution is an impediment to their power and to their ability to rule over us. They don't want to have a conversation. I want to have a conversation. I have no problem speaking with somebody that I don't agree with. It doesn't need to resort to violence. It doesn't have to come to blows. We can have a conversation and we can support our positions in a logical and rational manner. And the best ideas will win out as long as the people are advocating for those ideas. And for too long, we didn't advocate for those ideas. Those ideas were dictated to us. That's what the mainstream media did. That's what the alt media is against. We are trying to spread truth. We are trying to raise awareness among the great masses of the American public. And we don't want a civil war. We do not want violence. We do not want us to come to a point where it's brother against brother. We had that at one time in this nation, and we had an incalculable loss of life. So let's take a look. What does this appear to be to the average American citizen? So this new poll has revealed that a majority of Americans believe that Joe Biden's primetime speech in Philadelphia before this blood-red backdrop was a threat to this country. It was a dangerous escalation, and it was designed to incite conflict. Turns out that a mainstream media stooge, one of these people on the left who hate us for thinking freely, who hate us for valuing our rights, who hate us for loving our nation, actually had a hand in writing this speech. What's cool is that this poll was actually commissioned by the Convention of States. And we're talking about 56.8% of the general population who believed that Joe Biden's speech represented a dangerous escalation in rhetoric, and it was designed to incite conflict amongst Americans. It may have been designed to incite conflict, but I truly believe at the end of the day, it was designed to wake up Americans. It was designed to show the true nature of this dangerous regime that has been attempting to subjugate us, that has been attempting to enslave us without our general knowledge. Yes, the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. The doctrine of the lesser magistrates. Let me go to a big picture here. The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. It is a great book. Highly recommend it. It was less than $20. It might have been less than $15 if I think about it. I could find it and find a link, but you guys, it's available all over the place. I don't know if this guy is alive. Matthew Trujillo. I don't know much about him. He appears to be rather young in the back of the book. I'm going to try to get him on the show for an interview. Yes. And there were no classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. Absolutely. Okay. But getting back to this. So the results of this of the poll are pretty obvious in terms of them being split by political party. Overwhelmingly, Republicans believe that, yes, it was a dangerous escalation. Democrats overwhelmingly believe that it was totally acceptable. It goes to show you how insane the radical left has become and how much they've taken over the ideology of the Democrat Party. So of those who were polled, 35.5% of Americans said the speech was acceptable campaign messaging that is expected in an election year. I take issue with that because we've never had any messaging like that from anyone at any time. presidents and even candidates have traditionally offered perhaps strong messages about each other, but they have never attacked the vast majority of the American public when they bring messaging out in such a way as this. Democrats are a lot more likely to see this speech as acceptable. Of course, Republicans and independents said that the speech was a dangerous escalation. That is the most important part, because you clearly,
and Red Pill 78, Biden's speech was written by Anita Dunn, the same brilliant mind behind Ultra MAGA.
I need to know more about Anita Dunn. Is Anita Dunn a covert Ultra MAGA operative who is currently working in the Biden administration? Okay, so we have this small percentage of America, less than 40%, 35.5%. That's the Democrats. And then you have 70.8%, or excuse me, about 65% of the rest of the country. That is Republicans and independents. We believe that this speech was unacceptable, not something that you should ever see coming out of the mouth of a president. 70% of Democrats said the speech was acceptable, but 18% said it was designed to incite conflict. So you still have a sizable portion, nearly 20% of Democrats, who see the speech for what it was. 89.1% of Republicans said that the speech represents a dangerous escalation. We only had 4.7% saying it was acceptable, and then 6.2% saying they weren't sure. That 4.7%, that's the rhinos, okay? I think that goes to show you just how few rhinos there truly are. Most of America, if they identify as Republican, truly care about this nation, and it doesn't matter what the personality of the person is. It's all about the policy. We need good policy implemented so that America can thrive and so that we can continue to move forward. We need to remain the top nation on planet Earth. Otherwise, things go south. It's going to be a dangerous situation. And then we have 6.2% who say that they're unsure. I'm kind of flabbergasted by that. I don't understand how anybody could see that speech and not come away feeling one way or the other. I am surprised when I hear that anybody thought that it was acceptable. But you have to remember that, you know, that portion of the Democrat Party, that's probably just the ultra left wing portion. And yes, they have been largely taken over by those people who were out there in the streets. She's a flaming communist who hangs a portrait of Mao in her living room. Okay. Well, clearly not an ultra MAGA operative. Yeah, I think this is going to go down in history as a turning point. This is going to be a massive turning point because it's going to be the day that a lot of people woke up. Maybe people who were on the fence, maybe people who thought that Joe Biden, you know, maybe was going to get better. Maybe they were going to give him different medication or something like that. And then instead he comes out with the military behind him attacking 70% of the country, saying that we are the danger to democracy, that we don't like the Constitution. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's absolutely insane to think about. So, you know, I'm going to actually say thank you very much to Joe Biden for doing that speech. Thank you to whoever wrote that speech, because you've given yourself away. Maybe you didn't do it willingly. Maybe they truly thought that by coming out with this strong messaging, because they are communists, because they like invoking the idea of Chairman Mao or Joseph Stalin or Goebbels or Hitler himself, they think that's a good thing. They are okay with authoritarian rule. They're okay with destroying the political opposition. They're okay with imprisoning their political enemies. And so here they are. They put themselves out on full display. It's the day that America realized we had to fully, really commit to doing something about the Red Menace. Joseph McCarthy was ahead of his time. Let's see. Rise Attire says, I wouldn't be surprised if she was encouraged or positioned by white hats to do what she does best. Yeah, she might not know that she was doing it for that reason, but it just came naturally to her. And so people said, hey, Anita, we need you to go out there and write the most inflammatory speech, you know, short of bringing a MAGA Republican out on stage and flaying them alive. We just need you to put that imagery into people's head. And let me refresh the Rumble page. Okay, thank you. So continuing on.
Those of you who were worried about Dr. Oz, you may have been right. So, the rally for Dr. Oz and Doug Mastriano on Saturday night was off the chain. President Trump spoke about it. He said that the ratings were really big for the rally in Pennsylvania. The overflow crowd was amazing. We had thousands of people who couldn't get into the arena. New arena attendance record was set. Biden had almost no crowd, and the fake news never says that, never shows an overlay comparison. MAGA has never been stronger. He's absolutely right. It's very cool and professional coverage by Newsmax and NMAX and, of course, people like myself. So if we're talking about Dr. Oz, Dr. Oz completely threw President Trump under the bus. He said after President Trump held this massive rally for him, throwing his support behind him, after Oz said that he would support the MAGA agenda, he comes out and says that he would have certified Joe Biden as president of the United States. Looks like this is a question coming from MSNBC. I'm disappointed in Dr. Oz, but here's the thing. Just because Dr. Oz says that he would have certified Joe Biden as president of the United States doesn't mean that he's not going to do what he's told once he gets in there. Let's go ahead and take a listen to Dr. Oz here.
If you had been in the U.S. Senate on January 6th of 2021, would you have objected to the certification of the 2020 election and Joe Biden's win?
I would not have objected to it. By the time the delegates and those reports were sent to the U.S. Senate, our job was to approve it, which is what I would have done.
Do you support Pat Toomey, Senator Toomey's vote to convict Donald Trump during the impeachment proceedings following January 6th?
I would not have voted in favor of impeaching President Trump. I think the president was already leaving office by then.
All right. So he took one and he lost one. Okay. So here's the thing. Keep in mind who Dr. Oz is speaking to, who are his audience, and where is he running? He's running in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has historically had Democrats in power. Oz is running against that Democrat machine, so he's trying to get as many votes as he possibly can. He might be playing politics, or he might actually have felt that way. I'm sure, no matter what, President Trump and Dr. Oz are going to have a conversation about this. This is not the kind of thing that President Trump is going to just, let fade away. President Trump likes to confront things like this, and we'll see. Now, here's the other thing. There is no other choice in Pennsylvania. It's either Dr. Oz or it's John Fetterman. All right. So this alone might be enough to get Dr. Oz elected. And then once Dr. Oz is elected, once he has his security clearances and he can be given all the information, and perhaps once we have some true investigations into what happened in 2020 and also on January 6th, Dr. Oz can be swayed to give the correct answer. We'll have to wait and see. But John Fetterman, guys, is not in a very good position. He spoke again this week. He had trouble speaking again. It's an uncomfortable thing. It's really sad to see. Now, I want to say, Lisa, Red Pill fiance, asked me yesterday, are you sure that that anchor had gotten the jab? Well, no, I mean, she hasn't come out and said, I got the jab. But what I can tell you is that all of these mainstream media television stations and companies, they mandated for their employees that if they wanted to stay employed, they had to get the jab. And what do we see? We see people getting the jab and then having strokes and massive complications. Not everyone, but enough to show that there is a pattern. One of those people who had a stroke and is now having continuing issues is John Fetterman. Let's take a look at this clip.
Please understand the stakes in this race. Send me to Washington, D.C. so I can work with Senator Casey and I can champion the union way of life in D.C. Thank you. Thank you very much. And it's an honor. I live 8 minutes away from here. And when I leave tonight, I got 3 miles away, Dr. Oz in his mansion in New Jersey. You've got a friend and you have an ally. Send me to Washington, D.C. Thank you very much. Thank you, Steelworkers.
Guys, that is just painful. I want everybody to know that when I report on a story like this, when I'm talking about the failings of a political candidate and the physical inability to form a coherent sentence, I am not taking any glee in making these statements. It is patently obvious to anyone with a brain that John Fetterman is not fit for public office. And the reason he's not fit for public office is because he got double vaxxed and boosted, and then he had a series of strokes at the very young. This dude is like, what, 50? I mean, he's not an old man. He's far too young to be having health problems like this. And we see this consistently across the board. You can take a look at people in the public space who have been very vocal about getting jabbed. They are in a position where jabs were mandated, and here they are having health symptoms that are a result of the jab. It is extremely sad. I hate to see it. I take no glee in reporting this to you. But my point here is that we don't have any other choice in Pennsylvania except Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz is it. And Dr. Oz has yet to prove himself in the role of Congress. It's only a matter of time before he gets in there. I think that it's going to be a close race. I think clearly the politicians and the political elite in Pennsylvania are going to do everything they can to cheat. They're going to try to put John Fetterman in there because John Fetterman, frankly, will be somebody they can control to a larger degree. But do the people of Pennsylvania want John Fetterman in? I think that it's a toss-up, you know, because you've got Oz, who clearly does not support the full MAGA agenda. He is not on board to the fullest extent, but can he be shown? That's the question. Can Fetterman be shown? No, not at all. John Fetterman will not ever support the MAGA agenda. Dr. Oz is our best shot. Okay, so as much as the people in Pennsylvania are hating me saying this, there are times where we're going to have to grit our teeth and go ahead with it. And if we think we can do a better job than Dr. Oz, well, then we need to work to primary him in the next election. Hopefully, it's Dr. Oz in November, and it's not John Fetterman, because he is not going to be good for the people of Pennsylvania. You guys, I wanted to speak briefly about the premiere of a brand new film today, because I've already purchased it, but I haven't had a chance. What caused Fetterman's stroke? Well, I mean, officially, it was just a stroke, but I mean, clearly, it was the jab. He was double vaxxed and boosted, and he is way too young to just be having strokes. If you see somebody under the age of 60 having strokes, I mean, I'm going to say it's probably the jab. He was very public about getting the jab. He was public about getting boosted. He ridiculed people on Twitter who didn't get jabbed. And here he is. You know, I mean, he's a young man. Have you seen his wife? I mean, she's like 35. I don't know how old this dude is, but he's not that old. He's not old enough to be getting strokes and having difficulty speaking. You know, I don't know that if he speaks naturally, he's going to have that big of a problem. But I mean, he's reading a teleprompter. And I think what he's doing is he's going back and forth between the two, and he's unable to track it. I mean, I don't know how slow they can move those things. I don't have a teleprompter. I've never used one. But I would imagine that they should probably be able to assist him in such a manner to make it easier for him to speak. So it's a bad look, and it's a bad move for the Democrats. And it's a bad move for anybody who felt that they needed to get jabbed. I hope that everybody watching this who did feel that they needed to, I hope that you're safe, and I hope that you continue to take care of yourself. There are moves that you can take, and I've spoken about those before. You can go to the description below. You can go to Clay Clark's website. You can go to Cliff High's website. There's all kinds of stuff out there. But, you know, I saw a very distressing story this morning. I'm going to bring it up here, you guys. But first, I want to talk about the premiere of My Son Hunter. Apparently, it is a good film, and you don't always see that, all right? Recently, there have been a series of films produced by conservative studios, Breitbart Studios, Daily Caller has their own set of studios, Ben Shapiro? I don't care for Ben Shapiro, but he's had a couple of films with Gina Carano, so I want to support that stuff. But listen, we're going to talk about this a little bit more on the other side of the break. We'll be right back after this. All right. Thank you for sticking around, guys. My Son Hunter, I'm going to be watching this later today with Lisa, and I will give you my report on it. We might do like a live camera viewing of it, like, you know, get our reactions while we're watching it, because I'm hoping it's going to have some good stuff in it. But apparently it's well written. The people who are the actors in it, it's well acted. There are some funny moments. We have some dramatic moments. And of course, it's ripped straight from the headlines. Now, anytime you see something like this, the fear is always that, you know, is this going to feel like an episode of SVU or something like that? You know, is it going to feel like it's cheap? But apparently it doesn't. It looks like people are very excited about it. Let's go ahead and watch the trailer one more time. And you know, maybe you guys will go out and buy the film and watch it later, and then we can talk about it tomorrow.
So I'll tell you what's going down.
You know who I am.
They told me you were VIP. Well connected to the government.
What kind of a moron forgets to pick up his laptop at a repair shop? You're a Biden. Like one. Everything he built, life, I just ruined it all.
I want to know everything that's on that laptop.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
You can ruin my erection.
My friends, it's time to party!
Yeah, didn't you know? I'm taking control. I'm making an appearance and I gotta go. Cause I get them dancing, put them hands up. Yeah, I walk in and they go bananas. I'm a bad, yeah.
I'm an artist.
Tell me how I can help you.
I don't deserve help. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I've been through worse.
You're the smartest man I know.
Thanks, Dad.
I just wish I could smack some sense into you.
I'll never forget Corey Pop. He was a bad dude. No joke.
Dad, we were talking about suffering.
I can't seem to find anything but positive stuff on the Bidens.
Who's the point man for the foreign policy in the Obama regime?
Joe Biden.
So it looks like you need $1 billion.
So the obvious next question is,
where's Hunter?
I can remember getting paid some money, but I can't remember what for.
Well, my dad says we never discuss my businesses, period.
Or my cut.
What's happening in there? Joe's in on it.
Party's over!
You had everything, Hunter, and you threw it all away. You hope the laptop will take down everybody with you.
Get out! China's not our enemy. They're not bad folks, folks.
I love my dad,
and I just want to make him proud. I am the one who brings in all the deals. I am the one.
So, boy.
I think it looks sweet. I'm really excited to see it. I am very, very excited to see it. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Tonight, looks like several channels are doing watch parties. You guys go ahead and check that out. and then we will discuss it probably tomorrow on Occam's Razor at 1 p.m. So, yeah, this was a story about President Trump's post earlier today. So let's move on to California. California, the spectacular disaster. Very shortly after outlawing gasoline engines, I haven't obviously taken gasoline engines off the road yet. They're still there. But this is indicative of what will happen once the only mode of transportation available is electronic vehicles, or electric vehicles, rather. Because every single one of those electric vehicles is going to have to charge using what? Oh, yeah, the electrical grid. The electrical grid. And right now, the electrical grid in California is having a spectacular failure. I remember when I lived in California back in 2000. Where is that coming from? When I lived in California back in 2000, guys, there were rolling blackouts all over California. You would wake up and there would be no power. And there would be no reason why there would be no power. Just for some reason, they couldn't keep the power going. Well, it's because they apparently didn't have enough capacity to be able to send electricity everywhere because, you know, you got to use an air conditioner. It's hot. You got people in old buildings and they're not very... energy conservation. They weren't built with energy conservation in mind. You got cold air leaking out. They're not holding on to it. The R value of these places is not what it should be because it's not always new construction. But Jennifer Granholm, who was the governor of Michigan, I remember when she was governor of Michigan because I was living there at the time. You know, she says that California is going to be the model for the rest of the nation. They are in the lead on energy. So if California was in the lead on green energy, you would expect them to be successfully delivering enough power to all of their citizens. But that is exactly the opposite of what's happening. Let's hear what Jennifer Granholm had to say about it.
California is in the lead, can show the rest of the nation how it is done.
All right, so how is it done, Governor Gavin Newsom? Oh, no. Oh, no. Apparently, they were unable to meet their energy needs using the green energy that they have been attempting to produce. They actually had to activate 4 gas-powered generators for the first time because their electric grid suffered a catastrophic defeat. They have a massive heat wave happening right now, triple-digit temperatures, breaking records all over that state. It's a major strain when every single address in the state has to have their AC going. They hit 116 degrees on Monday. I guess that's the hottest it's ever been there. So as a result of this, they were telling people to get ready for rotating outages. You know, if you lived in a certain area, you were only going to have electricity for certain times during the day. Now, what happens if you're like an elderly person who is at risk of dying of heat stroke if it gets too hot for too long? How do they decide who gets to have power and who doesn't get to have power? And believe me, there are so many people in California. It's not like down here in Florida where people are prepared for a hurricane and they have gas powered generators or they have solar panels because they get a lot of sun. In California, you have a lot of underprivileged people. You have a lot of people without a lot of money. And then you have people like, what's her name? The politicians. Anyways, we'll use Nancy Pelosi as an example. Do you really think that Nancy Pelosi's home would be affected by a rolling blackout? Either they would continue to deliver power to her mansion, or she would have a huge whole home generator that would allow her to continue to produce cool air for her and Paul and the kids or whoever it might be that might be there. But this is what the electric grid looks like in California right now. So you can see how it's split up into different segments. So we have different supplies coming to deliver certain percentages to the California grid. Only 32.4% of California's energy is produced by renewable resources. And about 87% of that is solar. You have 2% of that in wind, 5.7% from geothermal sources, 2.4% from biomass, 1.3% from biogas, and then you have a small percentage of hydro coming at 1.1%. 45%, which is the largest portion of their energy grid, is coming from natural gas. You have large hydro at 3.6%. You have imports of energies from other nations at 13.9%. 0% of their energy is coming from batteries. Only 5% from nuclear, and they have completely cut out coal or other. Now, if California had continued to produce power from coal or perhaps from some other energy sources, then it's very possible that they would have had enough power to deliver to the citizens of their state. But instead, they wanted to produce as much green energy as possible. And as a result, they were unable to do this, and they had a catastrophic failure. As a result, they had to turn on these gigantic gas power generators, and that's it. California's electrical grid does not work, and this is bad news for the people of California. Do we have any people out there who are California residents, people who were affected by blackouts or power outages this week? I'd love to hear from you. I want to know. My ice cream melted last night, Brew 525 USA fam says. Anybody else out there from California? But my global warming, that's right. My global warming is the problem. So I think that it's only going to get worse. As soon as they do take gasoline-powered cars off the road, What do you think is going to happen when every single person with a car is charging their car on this electrical grid? They're not going to be charging it from solar. They're not going to be charging it from these renewable resources because they just don't have the infrastructure in place. Justice Roberts is resigning. My mom says, Justice, oh my God. Well, that means that Joe Biden is going to be able to appoint a new justice unless we get something in there quick. If we have a Republican-controlled Congress, there's a distinct possibility that they could block any nominations from Joe Biden being able to push them through. Let's go ahead and, Mom, send me the link. Can you send me the link, Mom? Yeah, rolling blackouts have been a problem for a long time. And this is why I said 20 years ago, when I lived in California, they were having rolling blackouts. They are the leader of nothing. They are the leader of rolling blackouts. If California can't fix their energy grid in 20 years, then how are they going to do it in less than 10 when they're supposed to have all the gasoline-powered cars off? Oh, my mom. No, Robert's aide is resigning, not him. Thank you very much, Chrissy Francis. Oh, look at that. That is live television for you. You guys know my mom was wrong. My mom. Mom, what have you done to me? Somebody's going to clip that out. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Justice Roberts, chief of staff, is resigning. I have a ghost that keeps clicking this button on my sound pad. Yes, Roberts, chief of staff. Oh, my God. Mom, hopefully you're seeing this. Why does that keep happening? Oh, my gosh. Anyways, Mom, thank you. Thank you very much for the almost tip. I appreciate it. What is going on? Something is wrong with this sound pad. Okay, I wanted to show you guys. I wanted to show you guys what woke indoctrination has done in other areas of the world. This is one of the scariest things I've seen, and it is, of course, the logical conclusion of the woke left and what they hope to do. They are now jailing people for refusing to use the preferred pronouns of these high school kids in Ireland. Come on. Stop. Okay, that should fix it. Oh my gosh, Mom, I can't even. That might have been the leaker. Yes, Chrissy, I think you're right. I think it's very possible that Justice Roberts, chief of staff, might have been the leaker. I also heard that about Justice Kagan, Justice Kagan's chief of staff. Fake news, Mom. Don't give my mom too hard a time, guys. She's she was trying to get the breaking news out to us. Okay, so Enoch Burke is the teacher at Wilson's Hospital School. He's a devoted Christian. They want him to refer to students by their preferred pronouns. The problem with everyone having their own preferred pronoun is how do you remember all of them? It's very simple. Very simple. We've got men and women. Okay. He and her, she and him. All right. Pretty simple stuff. But when people are identifying as a cup or a plate, and then other people are identifying as a dog, and then other people look like a man, but they identify as a woman. And you know, the only way to get this right is for people to wear a name tag with their preferred pronouns written on it. And this is why people on the left, on the woke left in social media, have begun adding their preferred pronouns to their bios on social media. For me, it's just a wonderful signal of who to block. Or for who not to accept a friend request from, I suppose. LinkedIn is the only place where I have an account where I even have to accept friend requests. There is no way to successfully implement this. And it gets to the point of ridiculousness, of complete absurdity and hilarity. And so now he has been barred from campus. He's on administrative leave. There was a student who wanted to be called they. And he didn't call a student they. So now he's been arrested. And it's absolutely insane to think that this guy is going to end up getting charges or going to jail. This is the same kind of thing they are doing in Canada. And of course, they want to push this into America. You know, Ireland is a Christian nation. Ireland, you know, Christian and Catholic, Catholic Protestant. You know, they have a fairly firm foundation in faith. And for them to submit to this woke leftism, it's scary because it means that it can happen here, too. And that's what they're trying to do. So while they're pushing the woke indoctrination, what about education? What about our children, guys? What about making sure that our kids know how to read or do the maths? Well, apparently that's not that big of a deal to these woke leftists, because during the course of the COVID-19 pandemic, our comprehension scores for children dropped precipitously. Now, some people might say that this is a result of parents, you know, failing to do their jobs. You know, it doesn't matter if you're homeschooling your kids or if your kids are going to public or private school or charter school. You should be able to trust that the teachers that are teaching your children are teaching them the lessons that they're supposed to be learning, that your children are going to be subjected to educational type foundational material. Instead, they are teaching them about pronouns. They're teaching them about how to identify as rainbow unicorns. Yes. Yeah, so I don't know what's going on with those crickets. It's a button on here that I think is it's stuck for some reason. But so math and reading scores for 9-year-olds are their lowest levels since 1990. Back in 1990, that was just before Bill Clinton came into office. That was George H.W. Bush. And things are not looking good for the education system. I have a viewer who is involved in a radical departure from traditional education that's going to be coming on the show in the near future. She's got a really unique and novel approach, and the approach that she's using to education is designed to instill the very foundational tenets of American life, freedom and liberty. And so she's going to be coming on the show, and I'm not going to, you know, wreck it for you before then. But I'm looking forward to when she does come on. But this is bad news for public education. And at the same time this is happening, we are also getting some really incredible stuff coming out of Project Veritas. And they've had three different teachers in recent weeks, in just the last week, rather, who were busted either pushing woke indoctrination. Well, all of them were busted pushing woke indoctrination, but they were also engaged in unfair and discriminatory hiring practices. So you had this assistant principal in Greenwich, Connecticut. He was the one engaging in hiring practice discrimination. He was also hiring teachers based upon their ability to indoctrinate the children. You have this teacher at a prestigious NYC private school. She's a director there, and she was touting her ability to sneak her political agenda into classrooms to disrupt the status quo where she could. She also attacked white boys. She even suggested that perhaps white men needed to be murdered by serial killers. That was a shocking one. And then we have this latest one, another New York City assistant principal who has also revealed discriminatory hiring practices, the indoctrination of our children. They said that if they answer a question about diversity, equity, and inclusion incorrectly, they are just an automatic do not hire. All of these videos are damning, you guys. They have lots of footage on all of them. Hopefully, every single one of them is going to lose their jobs. Very, very stunning admissions coming from these people. This is why it's so important that people and organizations like Project Veritas are allowed to do this type of work. And it's exactly why they are attacked by the mainstream media. Because when the cameras are off, when there's no visible microphones, when people believe they're in private, that's when the truth comes out. That's when people like this will take the mask off and show you exactly who they are. Now, if these questions had been asked in front of a class of children or a group of parents, you can believe they would never have admitted to this stuff. certainly they would never have admitted to discriminatory hiring practices. They might have tipped off a little bit about the woke indoctrination of children because this has been their stated goal for quite some time. You know, we want to show kids that if they want to be a mountain goat, that they can choose to be a mountain goat from the time that they say, hey, mom, I'm a mountain goat. I want to get hooves surgically implanted and I want to eat grass out in the yard all day. So I'm pretty excited about the stuff that they've been able to do. This is a big win for Project Veritas. I mean, three of these huge cases over the course of the last week. So I encourage you guys to watch these videos if you haven't had a chance to watch these videos yet. It's great. So I'm sure you guys saw that John Podesta is being welcomed with open arms back into the White House. I thought it was quite interesting to see Podesta coming back at a time such as this. You know, he was the enforcer of both the Clinton and the Obama families. He oversaw some pretty disgusting things. If you have been a part of the Truth and Freedom Movement since, you know, 2015, then John Podesta's name is going to be very familiar to you. He was all over the WikiLeaks emails from Hillary Clinton's private bathroom server. And he is now going to be in charge of some type of green energy projects for Joe Biden's White House. Hopefully, John Podesta is not going to be in a position to do too much damage. John Podesta has some really deplorable beliefs and the way he acts. Let's listen to this. You might remember Andrew Breitbart. This likely is why Andrew Breitbart was killed, likely by the Obama administration. Let's take a listen.
This is a concerted effort. This is a concerted effort. Politics of personal destruction. Fuck you, John Podesta.
All right, well, you see where I'm coming from.
Okay, yeah.
When I talk, that's because I'm interested in this ongoing whatever the hell they're doing.
What's in your closet, John Podesta? Big Podesta? Big Soros? Do you want us to play these games? Because we're playing to win.
Remember, Andrew Breitbart famously accused John Podesta of being some type of pedophile, and I can't remember the exact quote. I would love to be able to show you guys that, but I don't have it pulled up. But John Podesta was not a fan of Andrew Breitbart, and Andrew Breitbart was not a fan of John Podesta. John Podesta famously said that he was all in favor of making an example out of a leaker, whether they were truly the leaker or not. This has a lot to do with the death of Seth Rich. A lot of people believe that John Podesta was directly involved in what happened to Seth Rich. Certainly, that's been postulated ad nauseum. I don't have any direct evidence of that. And the Rich family is very litigious, so we're going to leave it at that. Somebody mentioned Justin Bieber yesterday. This is somebody who I believe is another victim of the death jab of the vax. He had recently put his tour on hold because half of his face went numb. He was having issues swallowing. He was having issues speaking even. And now he is completely canceling his world tour because of his diagnosis of Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. Now, they've been very careful to diagnose him with something that has not been openly connected to the jabs. Now, what is Ramsey-Hunt syndrome? Let's take a look here. Ramsey-Hunt syndrome it's from shingles. Now, we do know that shingles is one of the side effects of the jab, something that people can develop. So did Justin Bieber develop shingles and Ramsey-Hunt syndrome as a result of getting the jab? Well, I think it's fair to say that that's very possible. I think it's sad. And I also think that it's pretty interesting that his wife, Hailey Bieber, had a stroke. What is she, like 22? Definitely somebody who should not be having strokes. She had a stroke. She collapsed. They took her to the hospital. Luckily, she's young enough that they were able to stop it in its tracks. But apparently, once your face goes numb and it wrecks your career, that's it. This is a really interesting story that I wanted to make sure we talked about. I don't know who this is. Tiffany Haddish. I've heard the name before, but apparently she's some type of a musician and an entertainer. She is currently being accused of some type of grooming and pedophilic behavior. Look how I saved all the pedophile stuff for the end of the show. So, Grammy and Emmy winning entertainer Tiffany Haddish, she posted this message on Instagram. Now, she and this other guy have been accused of grooming and pedophilic behavior. Of course, they completely deny it. And this is what she said. Oh, Aries Spears. This guy's a comedian, I guess. She said, I know people have a bunch of questions. I get it. I'm right there with you. Unfortunately, because there's an ongoing legal case, there's very little I can say right now. But clearly, while this sketch was intended to be comedic, it wasn't funny at all, and I deeply regret having agreed to act in it. I really look forward to being able to share a lot more about the situation as soon as I can. So she's currently in a lawsuit because she has been accused of recruiting underage children for the purpose of filming sexually explicit comedy skits several years ago. Now, I've never seen this comedy sketch, and I don't think you can find it anywhere online if it was pedophilic in nature. If it was that bad, you're probably not going to be able to see it. It's from 2014, The Mind of a Pedophile. So in the skit, Haddish and Aries used underage actors in ways that, if accurate, sound more than just a little disturbing. We've got John and Jane Doe, people who are now 21 and 14. At the time they were filmed by Haddish and Aries, and the skit in question was published at Funny or Die before being removed in 2018. So 7-year-old John spends most of the video clad only in his underwear as Aries Spears leers at him through two holes cut in a newspaper he pretends to read. And during that sketch, the camera zooms in suggestively on the 7-year-old's buttocks and his crotch while he plays. Spears sprays baby oil onto the child's back and massages it into his shoulders in one scene, and at one point, the child plays with a train in a manner that suggests phallic masturbation. I can't believe this was made! In another sequence, Aries Spears smokes a cigarette while observing the child nude in a bathtub and pours water on his feet. By the time the video ends, the child is peering at his babysitter through a newspaper and rubbing baby oil on his shirtless shoulders. The final line of the screen reads, "Watch who you leave your kids with," like the people who produced this sketch. Now, according to the lawsuit, these kids were exploited by Haddish and Spears. Jane Doe's mother was allegedly told her daughter would star in a commercial. Instead, it was some sort of skit where the young girl was told to mimic giving a man oral sex, including movements, noises, moaning, and groaning. The lawsuit also says that Haddish became a friend of the family, so close the children considered her an auntie. As a result, when the events in question occurred, the children's mother trusted Haddish to be alone with the kids and look out for them. The lawsuit further claims that the experience has left both of the kids with lifelong trauma, and of course they're seeking compensation. Let me see. Yeah, I can't imagine that this would have been allowed to be produced. I mean, it is pretty disgusting, and it's shocking to imagine that these people thought that this was okay to produce and to put out there on the internet. You know, I am a person who definitely like a bit of good comedy, but a joke has to be funny, and it cannot be nearly explicitly illegal. Absolutely disgusting. You guys, I do have an email that was sent to me earlier, and I wanted to share this with you. There is a viewer of the program who currently, as a result of not being jabbed, has been forced to get oral surgery without her without insurance, because the insurance won't cover it. Her name is Karen, and you may know her. Hold on, what was her name? What's her name in the chat and on Truth Social? Shoot, I don't have it. It was in a different email. Anyways, Karen needs $14,000 in oral surgery. She's paying bills from a heart attack she had in 2020. Because she didn't get jabbed, they are making her pay. I know that there are a lot of people out there who are in a similar position. I don't ask you guys to donate to the show, but if you were thinking about donating to the show and you have a couple of extra bucks that you wanted to use to help out Karen, I'm going to throw this give, send, go out here into the chat. And hopefully Karen is able to get it together. She's behind on her bills because she's been paying for the oral surgery that she needs. So thank you very much for considering that. Let's go ahead and go through the thank yous over here on the Foxhole. Filter Dog One says bonus Wednesday show. Janice 17, thank you for that. Just Duckies says cannot stress how much I and we appreciate and need this information. Thank you for doing God's work. Thank you very much. Mountain Lace, thanks for the cookie. Nikki the Greek, thank you as well. Sisty Ugler dropped a can. Mez says the difference between humans and animals. Animals would never allow the dumbest ones to lead the pack. You're absolutely right. I love animals. Animals are, in many cases, smarter than humans, I'll be honest. J2 Dank, thank you for the cookie. A Boneless Chicken says, enjoy, I'll be selling pics of my wife's feet to afford more. Just need her to go to sleep. Oh my gosh. Maggie May, thank you for the shades. Appreciate that, Maggie May. All right, you guys. And for the end of the show, I do have another sponsor of the program. C60 Evo is now sponsoring the show. C60 Evo's organic olive oil is carbon 60. You just take it every morning and it'll give you more energy and endurance. Obviously, I like to take care of myself and I've had a lot of people tell me about the benefits of C60. They have a number of different products that contain carbon 60, including infused skin serums, lip balms, and also pet formulas. All of them deliver excellent results. They've got a proven track record with 31 years and also personal recommendation from myself. So you can get their C60 Evo organic products and enjoy the incredible benefits yourself. You can use my code REDPILL78 to save 10% off. Just go there through the link in the description below. Don't forget, preparewithredpill78.com. And thank you once more to NobleGoldInvestments.com for sponsoring the program as well. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I'm going to pass out these gold pills and then don't miss me later on this afternoon with 412 on 412 Productions. I'll be there at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, you guys, good luck and God bless. One more thing, me and a whole bunch of other patriots that were deleted from YouTube are still suing Google. We still need to raise money for that as well. We have raised a ton of money, but now we're on the home stretch and Google is trying to run out the clock. I'm dropping the links to that out there as well. I want to thank Debbie for also dropping it during the show. Thank you very much to everyone for their generosity, and hopefully we'll be able to make Google pay.